My name is John Shipton. I'm Julian Assange's father. Julian, well, has always been interested in the mathematics, and that moved him into computers, as well as social protest. He was involved in the anti-global movement and the World Social Forum for a number of years before moving into WikiLeaks.
How has this whole process gone down in Australia? Because I think we don't really get any idea of that here in the UK. But I would imagine that most Australians are not really happy about the way the old empire has dealt with one of their sons here.
Well, the Australian public is tremendously supportive, and shows that support by financing my trip here through donations, you know, small donations. To give you an illustration, the petition that was tabled in Parliament has 500,000 signatures. The Amnesty International petition has 250,000 signatures, and so on.
Generally, how do Australians view, Julian Assange, how do they view the old England, the old empire?
I don't know. You know, there's been so much movement of Australia towards the United States, and now 50% of the population of Australia are migrants from other places than the United Kingdom or Europe. So the appearance of the Queen is still venerated and appreciated by most people. However, the attachment to the United Kingdom has declined.
So what was your attitude to Julian's activism in the early days?
Oh, I liked it. So there's a lot to do, you know, and he was in there fixing things. Yeah, I liked it very much. In fact, I was involved myself, not with what Julian was doing, but in other areas, for example, the Vietnam War movement or the environmental movement.
And was he making a stand against globalization? Because that was a big thing, wasn't it, in the 80s and 90s?
Yes, he did that. He was a marshal in the anti-globalization project back in the 80s, yes.
And obviously publishing is his main thing. At what point did you start to think, well, actually, he could be treading in some dirty waters here and he could get himself into trouble? At what point were you first thinking, actually, what Julian's doing is pretty dangerous?
Well, not until he went to Sweden, because a family trait is to be positive about what one takes on in life, you know, so I thought to myself it was a strong idea to give protection to people who leaked some documents that outline government crimes or the documents from the government that witnessed their crimes. I thought that was a good idea.
Yeah, but at what point did you start worrying in Sweden? You know, was it obvious what was going on there? What's your take on what happened in Sweden?
Well, as soon as I read that four Secret Service agencies were spying on, just surveilling Julian as he got off the plane into Sweden, I began to worry. Yeah. As for the rest of the Swedish thing, it's dead and buried now, gone in the past, and the what Julian always predicted, that the United States would launch a vigorous prosecution for his extradition to the United States, has emerged, and so we fight that no extradition.
Well, there are still a lot of people in the mainstream media that believe that Julian was a rapist and has got off of that charge.
Well, there was no charge. There was an allegation, and the Swedish prosecution had 9 years to lay a charge or even do an interview, and they didn't. There were four prosecutors, 9 years. I mean, it's just a scandal, really. You know.
Well, you're saying also that these different secret services were after him. Who were they?
That's the sort of the curiosity. I had lunch with an ex-police chief of Stockholm back in 2011. And aside from assuring me that I could trust him completely for anything I wanted to say, I don't know the identity. That was just reported to me.
Well, the obvious implication here is that Julian could have been, whether you knew it or not, a Russian agent.
A Russian agent? Well, that's a... I think that's a bit of a step too far. I don't see how Julian, an Australian who's fought, who's released, I think, 800,000 documents that embarrass Russia, can be a Russian agent. It's hilarious.
Well, yes, but I mean, the intelligence that he's getting is very high level stuff. The sort of thing, I mean, this is what I've heard anyway, that, you know, this is something that maybe only the Russians or some state level intelligence service could have got that they then handed on to Julian.
You know, I have to say, Tony, that you're being informed of complete rubbish. He's actually charged with getting documents from Chelsea Manning, who was an officer in Iraq, who provided those documents, and an intelligence analyst in the United States Army. You know, it's pretty distant from Russia.
What do you think has been maybe just one or two of the most devastating revelations that Julian has published?
Well, they come in, you know, a lot of different directions. So, for example, one of the cables documents, that's the cables written by the United States soldiers in Iraq, one of them demonstrates that a group of soldiers murdered an entire family, the children, the mother, father, grandfather, uncle, father, they murdered a lot. Horrified at their crime, well, horrified that they'd get charged with this crime, they called in the United States Air Force and destroyed the house completely, obliterating the evidence. This cable enraged the Iraqi government, who refused to sign the Status of Forces Agreement, which then required that all of the American troops be withdrawn from Iraq. That's what happened, leaving only those troops that were in the Green Zone, which is the vast embassy in American embassy in Baghdad.
Well, that's a pretty devastating, but I mean, I know Julian has also published information about surveillance of us here in the West, with things like the idea of hacking vehicles to use them potentially for assassinations, also listening in through TVs while the TV looks as if it's off. That's almost like the telescreen from George Orwell's 1984. I mean, are you surprised, John, that he's caused the trouble he has and that he's now facing this extradition?
I'm surprised that the Crown Prosecuting Service and the FO have brought this mess, this embarrassment to the United Kingdom in facilitating this prosecution. It's just a terrible mess. Each of the Kronberg is the author, the American author of the indictment. He's even inaccuracies in the indictment, and certain charges, if brought, are unconstitutional in the United States. You know, it's just such a mess that whichever government is in power, Mr. Johnson or whomever on the other side, Keir Starmer, they in order to save the United Kingdom embarrassment and lowering of legal stature, which is vital for commerce in the United Kingdom, particularly the City of London, they'll have to get rid of this mess that's embarrassing them.
Well, it might sound a silly comment, but kangaroo court is the obvious thing that springs to mind with an Australian being tried in Britain for crimes apparently, taking place in the United States. What do you make of the whole judicial process here, the Old Bailey? Do you think that there is any credibility really to the British judicial system? Are they going to stand up to the United States?
Well, that's what we work on, that in the second instance, that's the High Court. They will insist upon the integrity, which is historical in their case of a sound law administration. They'll insist firmly that the integrity of the United Kingdom system of laws is upheld. Also, they'll insist that the authority of the judiciary be held and supported. So that's where I see the United Kingdom reasserting its authority in relationship to this persecution and prosecution from, the United States. Kangaroo Court's pretty accurate, although I call it a fraud against the court, and that the United States has brought a fraud against the court because it has the power to do so. That's all.
Charges, short, simple. This is hacking and espionage. Obviously, that's not going to be forgotten about by the judges at the Old Bailey.
Well, the hacking charge is a falsity because it was a hashtag which is unhackable in the first place, and in the second place, it was only to protect the identity of the source, which is normal behavior in journalism. You don't want the source of your information having their fingernails turn, or ending up in 20 years in jail. So you do everything you can to protect them. That is the complete sort of rounding of the so-called hacking charge. It just doesn't exist.
I mean, this is one case. There's a much bigger battle going on in the rest of the world, really, to do with the regime changes going on in the Middle East, the economic war with China. How do you think this little case fits into the bigger picture?
Well, I think it's you can take it from the lawyer who represents the New York Times back in the Pentagon Papers day, James Goodall. He states clearly that this is a global case. And it's a global case in a number of different directions. The one that concerns you and I, having worked in the media industry, is freedom of the press. But the others are the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, a great epoch-making civilizational legislation introduced into Europe. Well, that's one. The United Nations and its authority as concerns the rapporteur on torture and the working group on arbitrary detention being sniffed at by the judiciary. So the prestige of the United States needs reaffirming. United Nations needs reaffirming. National boundaries. There's a big concern for the United Kingdom having to re-establish their national boundaries through Brexit. However, the United States wishes to apply its laws inside the United Kingdom. So it's called extraterritorial application of laws. Well, this is an important thing for the United Kingdom politicians and people to retain their own powers and not turn those powers over to the United States. So in those three grand directions, this is a global case, even though it's in the extradition court in the Old Bailey.
So what's your hunch? the Britain has got the stomach to stand up to Washington?
Yes. Well, if not Britain, the final hope will be, as Britain is still a member of the Council of Europe, will be the Court of Human Rights in Europe. So, anyway, I think the United Kingdom will assert. They've had a lot of problems with this extradition order. They have an extradition order by the United States against Mike Lynch, who's a very bright IT businessman in the United Kingdom that the United States wishes to gather up. There's the Harry Dunn, who was killed by Ann Sekulis, and the United States absolutely refuses to even consider the extradition of the person, Ann Sekulis, who is alleged to have killed Harry Dunn. They refuse to even consider an extradition order. So this is probably a prime concern of Boris Johnson and his cabinet and the rest of the political class in the United States.
When did you last see him? What kind of health condition is he in?
Oh, he's a bit dire. You know, it's now 11 years of being banged up, 2 years in...
So what access have you had to him, John?
Well, I saw him 6 months ago, and then the COVID lockdown came, so the streets were deserted in London and you weren't allowed to go and see him. Last week, his family was able to see him for 40 minutes, which, you know, ended up being about 25. And the kids weren't allowed to embrace their daddy. And Stella, the children's mother, is not allowed to embrace her lover, or her partner, as it's called these days. If they did, Julian would have to go into 2 weeks isolation, stacked upon isolation. Well, top that, you know, that's pretty cruel. So he's already partially isolated and only sees prisoners. But if he's embraced by his kids, he's not even allowed to see other prisoners for 2 weeks. It's pretty grim out there. And that's the same for all the prisoners, by the way.
Some people said he's on medication of some sort. Is it something that he's being forced to take? Is it something he needs? Do you know?
Yeah, it's something he needs. It's a struggle against depression, as you can imagine. It's not a fun position to be with. He sparked up this week as the fight for his freedom, moves ahead, and we're doing well in court.
If people want to follow what's going on, I believe the former ambassador Craig Murray has been reporting on the case, doing a good job on it. I just wondered, because he himself has got his own court case to face, this is a bit of a strange position, as the only person who's really doing a very good job inside there is also facing jail. What do you make of the just general press coverage of Julian's case right from Sweden up till today?
Well, you know, I don't want to, bitch slap or anybody whose support I'm hungering to get. So I will praise them for their stance lately. They've come aboard. The Washington Post editorial, the New York Times editorial, even the Guardian's editorial, the Times last Sunday, the Times on Sunday, the Mail on Sunday. So they've all come around to realise that if Julian's extradited on and thrown in a dungeon for 175 years, their power, their ability to publish, and their prestige, and consequently their living standards go down the drain. They've come around to realise it's their own self-interest, and they're changing their mind and supporting us.
I think one of the mysteries of this, particularly in the UK, is The Guardian, who took so many stories from Julian for years, exclusives that were obviously helping them sell their paper and giving the paper prestige. What do you put down? The fact that they seem, certainly a couple of years ago after Sweden, to have turned on Julian and have many of their reports were really negative against somebody who'd supplied them with exclusives for years.
Yeah, I don't understand that. They continue to support Luke Harding, who wrote a story which is a complete lie, that a Manafort had went and visited. Manafort was a political operative in the Trump campaign, and went and visited Julian. And there's just no evidence of it. Julian at that time was one of the most surveilled people in the world, with 9 cameras and shotgun mics, you know, laser mics that listened to everything he said, you know, the vibration of the window to your voice. It's just a very curious thing, this bee in their bonnet, I suppose that's the polite way of saying it. I don't know if you can speak over the radio in the United Kingdom what I'd like to say, but they've got a bee in their bonnet to become gloomily mean to Julian. For why, I have no idea.
Also, there is this Spanish firm that was employed to spy on him in the Ecuadorian embassy. Can you just tell us a bit about that? Because that seems to have also sparked a legal backlash in Spain.
Well, the case is ongoing in Spain. They have a different system, as you know, where the judge investigates rather than hears the two sides from the QCs. Here, the judge in Spain investigates. So there's an investigation going on there, very vigorous. The UC Global converted all the cameras and installed new cameras in the embassy, even installing a microphone in the ladies' toilet. I mean, really and truly. And recorded Julian's conferences with lawyers. This is illegal, you know. I mean, it's illegal to spy anyway, but it's an abuse of process. It means that the case cannot go ahead because relationship between the lawyer and the client is protected. Also, they speculated on how to murder Julian by poison, how to kidnap him. Then they, made moves to double lock the door so he couldn't walk out. So they became jailers as well as attempting to murder, spying. They followed Julian's lawyers down the street in Brussels. They burgled Julian's lawyer, Balthazar Garzon's offices in Madrid and so on. So also the head of that time of UC Global, the security firm that we're speaking of, that was in charge of security at the Ecuadorian embassy in London, he took hard disks once a month over to the United States, handing them over to, well, we presume, the CIA, because at that time the head of the CIA was Mike Pompeo, who in April 2017 declared that the WikiLeaks was going to be ruined and Julian was going to be persecuted to the ends of the earth.
A lot of people have wondered about WikiLeaks itself. Does it continue without Julian?
Yes, I released something the other day. I'm not accurate on it, but the title of the release is called Fish Rot. It's about the illegal taking of fish in Africa. I'm not good on that because I haven't had time to read it, but they did release something the week before last. They're still active, yes, but most of their energy now is absorbed in protecting Julian.
Well, that may be part of why they're doing this, mightn't it? Can you just tell us where we are at with this case and where it goes from here?
Briefly, the first couple of days addressed the matter of whether Julian's efforts and his nature is political. If it is political under Section 4 of the Act, the UK-US Extradition Act, if it is political, then Julian is protected. So the argument was around that area for the first couple of days. Also, the argument then moved to what is protected by the First Amendment in the United States. A very, very impressive young man, well, young to me, man from the United States, Trevor Timms, gave the evidence there and a fierce cross-examination from James Lewis, the prosecutor's QC. He didn't waver and continued to expound the case. The indictment has several flaws in it, which was pointed out by Trevor Tim, that the indictment includes charges which are clearly unconstitutional in the United States.
So you've come all the way from Australia to see this. Are you able to sit in the court?
Yes, the five family members, seven. But at the moment, there's five of us in the United Kingdom. We're pretty attached to the United Kingdom. My brother is a United Kingdom citizen, lives in London, as is his son and his wife. And, you know, Julian's been here and has children here now, two children. So the attachment is close to the United Kingdom. So it's no problem to live here. In fact, I quite enjoy it.
So have you been actually able to sit in the court then each day?
Yeah, each day five of us are in the court. Yeah, and Craig Murray sits with us as well. So we five and Craig. Craig is a good companion.
Yeah. So where does the case go from here? Because it seems to be sort of almost every 6 or 8 months that the case has been popping up. Where does it go from this hearing?
All depends. One of the QCs for the prosecution, her spouse, came down with a temperature on today. You know, reported in the morning that he had a temperature. So they suspect COVID. So they're doing a test and they'll have their results on Monday morning. If it is COVID, I don't know what the court will do. I can't speculate. If it isn't, it'll go on for the next 4 weeks.
And after that, do you think Julian may be sent to the US?
I imagine what will happen. In normal practice, is if the judge says he's free to go, the United States will vigorously appeal and will go to the High Court. If the judge says that he's to be extradited, we will vigorously appeal and will go to the High Court. So that will probably take until May, June.
So it could be that Julian walks out of this court into the street a free man?
I'm not a religious man, but I've taken up to going to the Brompton Oratory and lighting candles. Brompton Oratory being the local Catholic church.
John Chipton, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Tony. It's been a pleasure. You're very good.
Well, you say that.